if a heart fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. It's good to have you with us once again here right after Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Good time with your family, traveling. You're back in the saddle now and tackling life and getting ready for Christmas right around the corner, then New Year's, and then we reach sort of the literally ordinary time, but not ordinary time, but ordinary time in the calendar after that. So the next month's going to be busy in your life. But I want to remind you today that just because we're busy with these national holidays today and that last week, and we have Christmas, that's not a national holiday, that's a church holiday for us. It's a great feast. We have so many others coming up, but I want to remind you that there's so much happening in the world right now. And in fact, I just got back from Ireland, and I was over in London and then Dublin and Belfast. In fact, I was when that bomb went off in Paris, I was standing literally on the street corner eating at Piccadilly Circus in London. And I was thinking to myself as I got back to the hotel and heard that, I thought, wow, you know, you just never know what a day is going to bring. So much violence in the world today. And the world was riveted by that story in Paris, France. And then just this last week out in San Bernardino. And the world seems to be riddled with violence. Isn't that something? In the last 5 to 6 years, there's been over 200 mass shootings in the United States. And it's becoming normal on the news when we watch this. Violence. Violence to the left, violence to the right. And what's our response to that violence? What do we do as Christians to respond to the violence that we see on TV? Not to mention the great violence that happens with the death of the unborn. Every day, all around the world. The fear that I have in this, to be honest with you, is that I can become cold. I can become indifferent to the violence around me. You know, the opposite of love isn't hate. And if you were to ask a child, what's the opposite of love? They'd typically tell you, well, it's hate. But the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. It's indifference. God is love. There is no darkness in him. He is love. And I would say that the opposite of God is really a total indifference to life. And God is not indifferent. He's involved. He's active. He's engaged. He is all about life. And as followers of Jesus, we should be all about life also. So today, guess what we're going to talk about? A week after Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about fasting and praying. In fact, we have a day of fasting and praying coming up today. It's actually today. It's right upon us, isn't it? And that's something that we need to be thinking about the rest of today. Fortunate for me, it's a morning show. And I can focus on this the rest of the day. But we're going to be talking with Father John Paul Erickson. He's the director of worship, the Office of Worship in the Archdiocese. And we're going to talk about this day of fasting today and prayer because it relates to violence. And we want to pray and we want to fast to deal with this violence in the world, but also the indifference that we experience in our own lives. What we're going to share with you today, you can do any day, but today, Bishop Cousins is calling us to really focus today upon this issue. And we're also going to be joined by Maria Wearing. She's the editor of the Catholic Spirit. We're going to talk to her about this day, but we're going to talk also about the Year of Mercy, which begins December 8th. We've got a great opportunity to enter that year in a very, very powerful, powerful way. Well, you know, when we talk about fasting, you're going to learn a little bit from Father John Paul Erickson in just a few minutes, but I want to share something with you before we take our first break here today, and that is that fasting is not something, you know, that we just do and something magical happens. There is a real power in fasting as one of the three major forms of piety in Jesus' day. You can read about these in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus introduces three major things. He mentions, of course, almsgiving. He mentions prayer, and he mentions fasting. And these are not three random things that he kind of dug up out of his teaching bag and said, hey, we're going to focus on these today. These were three pillars in the life of every Jew in the first century. They were called to give alms. They were called to pray, and they were called to fast. But why? Why would we do those three things? Those three things relate to the very beginning of the problems of the human race back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. You remember that story? It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and what did God say to Adam and Eve? He said that you should not eat from that tree. And we see that in Genesis 3, 6, Eve noticed three things about that tree. She noticed that it was good to eat, it was beautiful, and it made one wise. So we've got three things that are all pretty good. They're really, really good things. But God was asking her and Adam to choose the Creator, to choose God rather than the creation. And that's where it all went bad, is that we choose the creation rather than the Creator, and that's called idolatry. And you will always live a complicated life, and you will live a difficult life if you choose the creation over the Creator. Even though the creation is beautiful, the creation is tasty, and the creation makes you wise. Well, John, the great writer of the book of Revelation, also wrote three very small epistles and letters. And he said in his first letter in chapter 2, he said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. And then listen to what he says in verse 16. This is 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, listen to these three categories, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Does that ring a bell? It should. You heard about it. Genesis 3, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The lust of the flesh, tastes good. Lust of the eyes, it's beautiful. Pride of life makes one wise. We got the same three problems today. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, as he gives you today three tools to deal with those three problems so that you don't make an idol out of the created order here on earth, but you truly worship and walk with the Creator. And everything is in moderation. Everything is in line with serving God. And your life doesn't have to get out of control with eating and consuming and your eyes caught up in pornography and everything else. That's the complicated life. That's the complicated life. And Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I'm afraid that the devil has tricked you and has led you away from the simplicity of devotion to Christ. How do you get out of simplicity and into complexity? By taking your eyes off of the Creator and putting them on the creation. But listen to what Jesus said. He said three things in Matthew chapter 6. He said that beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. And he said, but when you give alms, he really encouraged them to give alms. He said in verse 3, when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Alms. Why do we give alms, and how does that have anything to do with those three issues of it's beautiful, it's tasty, it makes one wise, or as John says, the pride of life? How do we deal with the pride of life in our own life? What do? We divest ourselves of the things that we have here on earth. We give away. We give away. We give away rather than just consume. We give away. So alms correlates with what? It correlates with not only pride of life to some degree, but I would suggest to you that it really correlates with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes. We give away, we deny. So one way of dealing with the lust of the eyes is to give away. It's to give away. It's very, very powerful. The second thing that Jesus introduces to us in Matthew chapter 6 is prayer. It's prayer. And this deals directly with the pride of life. If almsgiving deals with the lust of the eyes, you know, the lust of the eyes, what are we talking about there? Let's go back there for just a second. Lust of the eyes. What are we doing when we go out to the mall and we walk from store to store to store and we look and we want. I need that. I need that dress. I need those shoes. I need that purse. I want that gun. I need that boat. We want the lust of the eyes. And what does Jesus say? What does he say? Give alms. Divest yourself. That's how you combat this. And if you're struggling with this at the Christmas season, then divest yourself. Give alms. Give away. I was stunned last week. Someone gave in one of the kettles for the Salvation Army $500,000 check. Maybe you want to match that. I don't know. Start with five. Start with 50. The second one is what? The second one is prayer. Jesus introduces us to prayer. And what does that directly correlate with? The pride of life. Make one wise. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in our own program, in the pride of life, and I can do it. I can do this. I can rely on myself. I can pull myself up by the bootstraps. I'm an American. Jesus says, what? Pray. If you're struggling with pride of life and your own wisdom, pray. Rely on Jesus. Look to wisdom. Don't look to your own understanding. And then the third is fasting, and that's what we're talking about today. And fasting is dealing directly with the lust of the flesh. If you're having a difficulty with the lust of the flesh, whether it be eating, whether it be pornography, whatever it might be in your life, fasting is a direct combat to that. And I want to encourage you to do that. And today we're going to talk about fasting in relationship to violence. I don't know if you saw it in the Catholic Spirit, but Bishop Cousins made some comments about the Year of Mercy, prayer, and fasting to end violence. I suggest you look that up in the Catholic Spirit or go online. But he said, in light of these deep struggles that he talked about in the article, in our culture and our church, I would like to propose a special initiative in our archdiocese over the next several months of the Year of Mercy. We would like to dedicate first Fridays of this Year of Mercy to praying for an end to violence against human life, praying that God would pour out his merciful love to change the hearts of all those who perpetrate these senseless acts of violence. So the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life will announce special activities. Stay in touch there and with the Catholic Spirit. We're going to talk more about this in just a moment. When we come back, we're going to listen to Father John Paul Erickson as he joins us to talk about this very special day of fasting. By the way, don't take one more bite. If you already have, don't take one more bite. You got an opportunity today to make the rest of the day count for eternity. We'll be right back in just a moment. You're listening to The Rediscover Hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Does this sound familiar? This is a thriving and successful business. It has a personality and vitality. It has the sound. An unsuccessful business also has a sound.
Johnson Brothers. Oh, hey, Mr. Johnson. No one came in yet. Yeah, maybe after lunch.
Let the Relevant Radio Network help you get the sound. Thousands of people are listening every day. Thousands are also visiting the Relevant Radio website and downloading our audio archives. The professionally trained marketing consultants at Relevant Radio can help give your business the sound. Send us an email. businessbuilding@relevantradio.com. businessbuilding@relevantradio.com. We'll take it from there. Sound good?
My hope on your return, now all that sorrow so soon will burn. So tend my heart with tender hands and see your sunshine.
And welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. You know, in the church here in the Twin Cities, there are a number of things that we do every year at the same time, and it reminds us in the liturgy of the life of Christ and our own lives and how we live those lives in relationship to Jesus. And then every once in a while, the Archdiocese tells us, you know what, there's something so important that we need to really focus on that. And we have such a thing right now. Bishop Cousins has been a part of this, and I want to introduce you to Father John Paul Erickson. He is over the Office of Worship for the Archdiocese, and he's going to talk to us about a very, very, rare but powerful opportunity to do something about the violence that we hear in the news. We certainly have heard it in the news, not only around the world, but even in our own country, and that is a day of fasting. And I want to introduce to you Father John Paul Erickson. Welcome to the show.
Jeff, thank you very much for inviting me on. I'm delighted to be here on, as you mentioned, this important day, a day of fasting and prayer in reparation for a culture of violence. As you mentioned, Bishop Cousins, along with all of the bishops of Minnesota, have called for December 4th, which actually today, for those listeners who are listening on Friday, is today, have called for us all to pause throughout the day and to offer up sacrifices, to offer up fasting, to offer up our prayers, that God might not only show us mercy for the many ways in which we have been apathetic to a culture of violence all around us, but also the ways in which we have contributed. One of the, I think, the beautiful things that our Holy Father Francis, of course, is reminding us of so consistently is, in fact, a consistent ethic of life. We as Catholics, as you well know, Jeff, are so concerned, as we should be, with a life in the womb, so critically important. But we as Catholics are also individuals who strive to uphold the dignity of life from womb to tomb. And as we observe the violence all around us in our streets and in our homes, on the television, all around us, all of us need to examine our conscience. In what way can I do better? And a day of prayer, a day of fasting allows us to refocus on that, allows us to acknowledge our own participation in a culture of death, and allows us to repent and to begin again to be messengers and ministers really of mercy. So as you mentioned, it's a beautiful, wonderful, unique opportunity to begin again and to embrace this coming year of mercy.
So as we enter this day of fasting, I think oftentimes, Father, about the news stories where we hear about people that are standing up for a cause and they say, well, I'm going to go on a hunger strike. I'm going to fast and I'm going to do, you know, myself in here if nobody changes. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about that kind of situation here. We're talking about fasting. And from a Catholic perspective, what happens when we fast? Why are we fasting in the face of violence?
Excellent question, Jeff. And I answered in a couple of different ways. One is, as you know better really than most, in the scriptural tradition, the whole notion of fasting is a sign really of repentance. We are willing to manifest to God and to our neighbor that we have sinned. And our hunger pains is a kind of a restitution for the offenses committed. It's a sign of our commitment to begin again. This is what I'm serious about this, and I'm willing to show it through this particular action. We also have to realize, too, that when we fast, and we think about this in a very powerful way during Lent, we remember our spiritual hunger. Our physical hunger serves as a kind of a sacrament, a visible sign of the invisible reality of our interior need to hunger for God. The only one that will save us, Jeff, in the midst of our mess, the only one who can save us is God. And our fasting reminds us of that fact. We must, as a nation, we must, as a people, we must, as a church, hunger for God. And the discomfort caused to our bodies must be an impetus and a reminder to the hunger that our soul should feel for the true and living God. So fasting, and hunger pains has a very beautiful and powerful history within our church. And the bishops are calling us to something which has a well-worn history within our tradition.
So when we fast, and we want to talk in just a few minutes about what that might look like, and age appropriate.
Amen.
Too. But when we fast, we have been told to accompany it with prayer. Mm-hmm. What would be your suggestion for those listening right now to say, well, what should I pray and how should I pray on this day?
Yeah, wonderful question. First of all, I'd encourage us all to pray for an awareness of how we can be ministers of mercy. It's, of course, important to pray for an end to violence in the abstract, but how about violence within our own lives? And of course, most of us, please God, are not inflicting violence, physical violence upon other human beings, but what about verbal violence? What about the ways in which we have allowed the sufferings of others to go unnoticed, the ways in which we have excused ourselves for faults and for failures and apathy? So to pray that our conscience might be pricked, to pray that we might experience the tears of God, in which we are remorseful for the ways in which we have offended God and failed our neighbor. And we also must pray for hope. We have to pray for hope in the midst of great difficulty and darkness. It can be so easy, as we all know, as we read the papers or watch the news, to see almost overwhelming sin, let alone within our own hearts, which are so stubborn. We look in the world and we have massive violence, increasing massive violence. But discouragement never comes from God. It always comes from pride or comes from the enemy. So we have to pray for hopefulness. Pray that we might know that God chooses to use weak, broken instruments like us to be messengers of mercy and instruments of mercy in our daily lives.
If you just joined us, we're talking with Father John Paul Erickson. He is the director of worship, the office of worship here in the Archdiocese. And we're talking about this day today. The bishops have really given us a mandate, and that is to fast and to pray on behalf of those who have suffered in relationship to suffering as a whole. And this is something that we all want to enter into. And Father, you know, someone's listening right now and they're saying, man, I wish I would have known this yesterday because I already ate that omelet this morning and I think I kind of blew it. Did they blow it? And can someone pick up today in fasting and give us some guidelines on how do we fast? Is it age appropriate? And what about today and what about tomorrow?
Absolutely. Great question. And as we mentioned, we are about to begin the Year of Mercy, something which our bishops and indeed our Holy Father has called us to during the Year of Mercy and indeed throughout all of our pilgrimage of faith throughout our lives, is to really remember Fridays. Every Friday is a day of great mercy, the day of our Lord giving his life. And part of that, the Church has taught consistently for centuries, that one of the ways in which we remember the mercies of the Lord, is through embracing hunger pains. Not necessarily fasting every single Friday like we do maybe on Ash Wednesday, certainly, or on Good Friday, where we really do give up meals and we allow ourselves to experience that. But we give up meat. We call this, of course, abstinence. We offer up meat or some other activity that is penitential. There needs to be some sort of action that we embrace that allows us, again, to remember our own faults and failures, but just as important, propels us to service of our neighbor. As you quite rightly mentioned, the Church is not carte blanche on this. She's not doesn't demand everyone to embrace this. We have to be very cognizant of our age and of physical limitations. The Church would never, never demand of someone something which is going to make their daily duties impossible and even difficult. We think of not only the elderly, those who are over 65 or so, but again, that can be different based upon individual experiences, but also someone who's very young, under, let's say, 12 years old, 10 years old. The Church would never ask of these individuals to embrace fasting in the same way that she would ask a 20-year-old or a 25 or a 30-year-old person who's in perfect health. So prudence is very important here. Remember the purpose of the fasting. It's not so much for the activity in and of itself. It's not just to give up Big Macs. Which is, by the way, penitential in and of itself right there. I love me a Big Mac. I love me a Big Mac. The point, of course, is to move us to love. And I remember hearing a story from Fulton Sheen. I can't give you all the details, but he spoke about how he didn't fast as much as perhaps as his healthy brother or sister would, because when he would fast, he had debilitating headaches. When you're a professional, as Fulton Sheen was, you know, on the regular schedule, that could make his daily work not just difficult, perhaps even impossible. These sorts of considerations are necessary. Mother Church is a mother, and she's very prudent. So there is a need to discern, what can I really do? But we also, Jeff, in the midst of that, need to be careful, too, that we don't give ourselves a free pass. You know, sometimes we we can be easy on ourselves.
Would that be in the category of, say, me fasting, not eating lutefisk?
Exactly, exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's right, exactly. Or, you know, fasting from homework if we're, you know, if you're a student or something like this. Precisely. There needs to be a reasonableness to this and a seriousness to it that is connected with its purpose, the end. What is the end of it? To grow in love, to grow in compassion. And so that should direct all of the deliberations. What should I do?
So once again, Father, give us sort of the menu, not of the fasting, but give us the menu of the types of things that we should keep in our mind throughout today, tomorrow, as we fast and as we think and enter into this day fully. Give us a little menu. What are the categories of violence that we might think about?
Yeah. Well, once again, I would offer, first of all, the violence of speech. What are the ways in which we ourselves have allowed other people to be torn down? And by the way, Jeff, I would here offer an analysis of all kinds of social media. It is so easy these days to assault someone's character with an anonymous post, you know? It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And we must be people of justice. So we always have to give people the benefit of the doubt and not spread vicious rumors. This could be a real act of violence, an act of verbal violence. There also can be a kind of a violence, I would offer, Jeff, of apathy, where we turn on the TV at night or we look on particular websites or favorite blog posts, and we see the violence inflicted upon young mothers. We see the violence inflicted upon Christians, and we yawn and we go back to bed. We don't really care, and perhaps we're overwhelmed by the darkness, or perhaps we're so comfortable we really can't be moved to be in sorrow over the sufferings of others. There's also certainly the more obvious and perhaps even traumatic violences of abortion and euthanasia happening around the world, and unfortunately increasing within our own country. These are also real acts of violence that we must stand against. But we stand against them not only by political action, but by standing in solidarity with those individuals who find themselves as victims of a society which is apathetic to the sufferings and struggles of single moms and the poor and the weak and the stranger. All of these are ways in which we can acts of violence that we must stand up against through our prayer and through this great privilege today of fasting.
Well, Father, I appreciate what you're saying, because it sounds like, at least to me, it sounds like that when we fast and when we pray in relationship to this topic of violence, that we can have an impact on the world. But it also sounds like we have an impact on ourselves, mm-hmm. in our own outlook, our own apathy, and perhaps that fasting is going towards certainly other people, but it might be the medicine of our own soul that we deeply need. Because we have become complacent.
Amen.
In our lives. So I appreciate you stopping by and sharing with us today, and continue to pray for us and in the good work that you're doing.
Thanks, Jeff. Right back at you. And may today be a day of renewal within our hearts and within our local church.
We've been talking with Father John Paul Erickson. He's the director of the Office of Worship. Once again, today is the day of fasting and prayer. Take some time. Take a lunch away, take a dinner away, take whatever it might be that you can fast, and remember to consciously pray and offer this up and pray for the topic of violence, what's happening in the world, and our own attitude towards it. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and don't go away. We'll be back right after this. Rediscover.
Experience, quality, and flexibility are a few of the things we offer to our customers every day.
I'm Tom Ashad with TPM Flooring. TPM Flooring has grown, but our principles remain the same. We offer top selection, a free no-strings-attached consultation, all quality products, and fast installation, usually within a week or two.
The type of flooring products that are available now for your home or office are amazing, and TPM Flooring has them all and can explain how they'll fit your flooring needs. Whether it's for a high traffic area, basement family room, or wooden tile floors that add value and beauty, you'll find them at TPM Flooring. Plus, you'll get a very personalized experience in your home or at their showroom.
We'll help you find the perfect carpet, hardwood, laminate, even cabinets and countertops. Then we professionally install them and vacuum our way out the door. We've worked with several Relevant Radio listeners. If it's time to transform part of your home with new floors, call TPM Flooring at 952-746-5157.
Or tpmflooring.com, 952-746-5157.
Oh, oh, I need a song that's never old. Oh, oh, I need a story now.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Need a song that's never old, a story that needs to be told, and that's what we're all about. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and today is the day of fasting and prayer. We're combating violence, but we're doing it the way that Jesus taught us to do. And if you just joined us, you just missed a great, great talk by Father John Paul Erickson. But you can go online and listen to these broadcasts. If you missed it, go back maybe tonight when you get home and listen to the broadcast. Today we're talking with also Maria Wearing. She is the editor of The Catholic Spirit. By the way, did you know that The Catholic Spirit is an award-winning paper nationwide, literally one of the best in many categories, and it's right here in our own backyard. If you go online, you'll see that it's a very popular, very, very well-read publication, and I want to introduce you to it. If you're new into the area and you don't know about it, I'm going to tell you how to get a copy of this in just a little bit. But here to talk about this day of fasting and prayer and also the Year of Mercy, which begins December 8th, is none other than Maria Wearing. Welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you on the show today. And you've been the editor for about how long now?
Almost a year. I began in the beginning of January of this year.
January.
Yes.
So you have been here for a little while.
Yeah, I have.
That's fantastic. So, it's not your first time around the mountain here with the Catholic Spirit.
No, it's not. So in 2004, I began as an intern there. And so I worked there for 2 years as an intern and then began full-time after I graduated from St. Thomas. And so I was a staff writer until 2010, and I got married. My husband was out in Washington, D.C., so I went out to D.C. and then Baltimore for a couple years. And in Baltimore, I worked for the newspaper of the Archdiocese there, the Catholic Review, and I just returned then to the Catholic Spirit as editor in January.
Well, it's good to have you home.
It is good to be home.
By the way, if you're listening to the show right now and you're wondering, what does this lady look like? What's Maria look like? You can also join us on Periscope. That's Rediscover Faith. We're live right now on Periscope, so you can join us also that way. Well, you've been doing so much in the last year since you've been here, and the paper looks so good. You guys have done a great job with the paper. Not only is the paper a great information source as to what's happening, but it's a great teaching tool of the bishop. You know, he's able to use that to teach in marvelous ways.
That is our hope.
Yeah. Well, you're doing great. And today is a big day for the church in the Twin Cities. Bishop Cousins has kind of given us some directives here about how to deal with violence. How are you guys covering that?
Right. So we've had some stories in the last couple issues and make sure that people are aware that today is the day of fasting and prayer. And actually, the full name of today is
Prepare
the day
yourself.
Exactly. The day of fasting and prayer in reparation for a culture of violence and disrespect for human life. And that's a name chosen by the Minnesota Catholic Conference. All the bishops. So I think that really it's not something that's short or hashtag worthy, but it certainly sums up what the goal is for today. And the bishops in Minnesota are really inviting each diocese to observe this in the way that works best for the people there. And so here in the Archdiocese, we are looking at today, December 4th, which is the day to be recognized statewide as a day of fasting. Mm-hmm. But the Archdiocese is also encouraging Catholics here to fast on the first Fridays of the month throughout the Year of Mercy, but especially through May, which is the when we have the annual Rosary Pilgrimage. And so we're trying to kind of keep this time between now and that Rosary Pilgrimage to be a special time of fasting on First Fridays. And so what they've asked us to do is really... First Fridays are a special tradition in the church. It's traditionally a time to pray and fast as a time of special prayer and recognition of the mercy and love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so that's why being tied to First Fridays. But also, every Friday in the church is still, meant to be a time of fasting and sacrifice. And so we typically think about that during Lent in a very strong way, and especially on Good Friday. But every Friday, in a way, is meant to be a Good Friday. And so I think the bishops really are asking us, as Father John Paul Erickson and yourself mentioned, to look in our own lives of what fasting means. They're not telling us, we're not given specific guidelines on how to fast today or on these first Fridays, but we're asked to really look at to kind of do an examination of conscience and
sure.
and ask what that look should look like for each one of us.
Well, as I mentioned earlier with Father John Paul Erickson, one of the beautiful things about today is that it has two aspects. One is that when we fast, which by the way, if you just joined us and you said, I'm coming back from some restaurant where you had a big omelet, you have the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. You can go without lunch and pray for our world, specifically violence, the violence to the unborn, violence that's taking place with terrorism today. But also, that's one aspect of it, is the violence that's taking place out there. But the other aspect of it that Father John Paul Erickson brought out so well is our own attitude, in that we can become indifferent to what's taking place around us. You know, we can watch 14 die in San Bernardino, And then turn around and ask, what's for dinner?
Right, right.
Without being moved.
Right. So I think you're absolutely right that I think it's very easy to look at this in a big picture way and think of Paris and San Bernardino and the Planned Parenthood expose videos and look at that as a violence that needs to end, and that absolutely does. And this, we have to trust and believe that prayer and fasting does play a role in ending that. But it's the individual violence that we have in our own lives. It's the being critical of others. It's the sharp tongue words. It's our conversations with others and how we interact and being callous rather than having real solidarity in pain with people who are suffering. That needs to end as well.
Exactly. I remember when St. John Paul II wrote about sin, and he mentioned that our country today is really the accumulation of who we are in our personal sin. And if we look at our country and we say, wow, you know, things are out of control, or where are we going, or I'm incensed by what I see on the evening news. Well, it is the accumulation of us, of all of us in this country, and we all have a part to play, and we can certainly address our own issues of violence and anger and envy and bitterness and so forth during this day and every Friday during this year of mercy. But we can also, as a weapon of warfare, pray against the violence. And Paul talks about, you know, the weapons of that we've been given are not earthly, but they are supernatural, and we can pray and engage the battle that is going on. Well, this year, December 8th, it's right on us. So you've been talking about this coming up for quite a while in the Catholic spirit, and suddenly we're 4 days away.
Here it is.
Yeah, if you're listening, on Saturday or Sunday, there's only a couple days left, you know, until this year begins. So let's talk about that a little bit. The year of mercy. You know that this I don't remember a time like this, except we go back to maybe 2000. In the year 2000, when St. John Paul II opened up the doors in Rome, and he offered a tremendous indulgence, you know. Father John Paul Erickson spoke about that in our last segment. If you just joined us, you can listen to that later online. But this is a rare opportunity for us to experience the radical mercy of Jesus. And I know that there's a lot of people, they'll listen to Pope Francis and say, what's he saying? What's going on? What, you know, he'll make what they would consider off-the-cuff remarks at times and say, what's he saying? But you know what? Scott Hahn and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago in Steubenville. And we were saying that in order to understand the church, you can't just look at what one pope is saying right now. You have to go back and you have to look at the progression. Not comparison, but continuation. He's not to be compared with Benedict or St. John Paul II, but it's a continuation of what they did. Mm-hmm. And so as St. John Paul II laid a foundation of philosophy, then Benedict comes and lays down on top of that a biblical scholar, a deep theologian. Now we've got this guy from Argentina that gets out of cars and runs across the street and embraces children in wheelchairs and gives them a kiss on the forehead and said, God loves you. And whereas some people would like to have a very cut and dry encyclical put out, this pope is getting out on the street. He's taking it from the page to the pavement, and he's showing us mercy. And I think that is our cue. Our Holy Father is showing us what to do. And so this year, my friend, you have an opportunity to walk in this incredible, rich, lush mercy of God. So as we face the year, Maria, Tell us a little bit about what the Catholic spirit is looking forward to, maybe some of the things that we're going to be doing this year.
Sure. So one of the things that we're doing in the Catholic spirit, there'll be covers throughout the year, but with a particular way we want to focus on what people here in the Archdiocese are doing in terms of corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And, you know, these are... the things that I think people maybe, you know, they hear these words, corporal and spiritual works, but maybe they haven't really looked at the list since they were in confirmation class and asked to memorize it, you know. And so, you know, just kind of as a quick reminder, the corporal works of mercy. So, again, these are the works that provide for the bodily needs of people who are often, as Father Michael Van Sloan in our paper this week says, who are beset by misfortune or distress. And these are outlined by Jesus. And he tells us that they are to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the imprisoned, and care for the sick. And then in tradition, also the seventh one to bury the dead has been added. And then accompanying these are spiritual works of mercy that focus on caring for the soul. And they are to instruct the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinner, comfort the sorrowful, bear wrongs patiently, forgive offenses of injuries, and pray for the living and the dead. And so we are doing a 14-part series, taking each one of these works of mercy and examining how an individual or a couple are really living them out in a very particular way here in the Archdiocese. And I think And so we actually have a special section this week introducing our readers to the Year of Mercy. And as part of that, we kicked off this series with Feeding the Hungry, and we focused on the work of Pat Haas, who is a parishioner of Mary, Mother of the Church in Burnsville, and a weekly event on Thursdays called Meals at Mary Mother that she's coordinated and really worked to get off the ground at the parish. And so we're focusing on her and kind of what motivates her to do what she does. You know, if this is, you know, she's giving a decent chunk of her life to living out this corporal work of mercy. And we're going to be kind of alternating corporal and spiritual works in this series, which will run roughly every other issue of the paper throughout the year, which lasts through November 20th. And, one thing that we really, you know, think is kind of interesting is that the corporal works of mercy are much more easy to illustrate, but they're also very broad. When you think of feeding the hungry, that also can be the way in which you put a meal on your table for your family too.
Sure.
You know, those small ways too. And so those aren't to be dismissed, but we are trying to look at the ways that people have heroically lived these out. But the spiritual works of mercy are much more internal and usually happen more one-on-one and
quiet conversation.
They're quiet. And so we're just really, we've reached out to the Catholic community, to parish leaders and pastors for ideas, on who to profile for these. And just the stories are numerous and more than we're able to include in this series. So there'll be other ways that we're highlighting people throughout this year and beyond. So I think it's something we already do in the Catholic spirit, but we're putting special focus on it.
I love it. I really love this. You know, when you look at the corporal works of mercy, feed the hungry, I'm reading from your article now, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the imprisoned, care for the sick. As you said in the article, these are central to the Christian life. But I got to ask myself, how many of us in the course of a year actually do one of those? I mean, when we really look at our lives, we believe the faith, we love the faith, we listen to CDs and Catholic radio and read books and go to conferences and so forth. But are we really involved in feeding the poor outside of the taxes that you pay? Are you really involved in giving clothing to those who need it or sheltering the homeless? Or is that something you just see on the news? And then you've got the spiritual works of mercy, instructing the uninformed, the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinner, comfort the sorrowful. Like you mentioned, these are oftentimes done in kind of a quiet situation. But I want to challenge our listeners today to begin to learn one by one as they follow the Catholic spirit this year, follow these and incorporate them into their life. Truly, these should not be for special occasions.
Absolutely.
They really shouldn't. But the church is using a special occasion and locally, First Fridays, to bring our attention to some of these issues, whether it's violence or in this year of mercy. But if we take the year of mercy and we cultivate this awareness of the mercy of God and extending mercy to others in our life, this could be something that carries on far beyond the year of mercy.
Absolutely. I think that's what Pope Francis has in mind is, you know, we can look at this time period and say this is a special time for us to, you know, reexamine how we are living out our faith and the way that we are meant to interact with others and think about the dignity of each person in front of us. But I think that we are all called through to conversion through this year, that this, what happens in our hearts should reverberate for our lifetime beyond this year. So this really isn't, you know, it isn't supposed to be just confined to this year. And so, in fact, even in the Archdiocese, you know, we haven't set up a big conference on the Year of Mercy or even really huge events that are pointed to the Year of Mercy, but rather the Archdiocese is really saying, you know, our leaders have said, you know, look at what your parish is already doing and do it. Be part of it. You know, there's adoration throughout the Archdiocese. Take advantage of going to adoration. Do it more regularly if you already, are making time to pray before the Eucharist. Take advantage of confession especially. You know, there are some parishes here in the Archdiocese who have opportunities for confession twice a day. And there are lines, you know, and there, so people are already taking advantage, but join those lines. Make sure that you are confessing and availing yourself of the mercy that Christ wants to offer you.
Right.
And, you know, the Archdiocese has made some suggestions to parishes. And so each parish will kind of decide on their own how they want to present this to their parishioners. But one of the things that the Archdiocese has suggested is to ring the bells every day at 3 o'clock, which is the hour of mercy. It's asked that, you know, maybe a parish leader or staff member in, you know, who is right there at the church every day to lead the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. These are simple things. These are not, you know, these are things that people can do very easily already.
When I think about the Year of Mercy, one thing I would like to bring out, and I've challenging myself too in this, is that I think sometimes as Catholics who are really excited about the faith, or what I would call uber Catholics, which I think you're one and I'm one, we love our faith, we really, really do, and I know you do, listening to the show right now, you love your faith, otherwise you probably wouldn't be listening, although we do have a variety of listeners, but we have a tendency at times to be very, very strict in what we believe and expect everybody else in the world to be following the letter of the law, exactly what we believe, when the truth of the matter is that many of the people around us don't really know everything that we know or that you know, but yet we hold them to that standard. And I think that Pope Francis was teaching us when he wrote earlier that we should lead with kindness and mercy. And in what we present to people, we don't lead with big ticket items that are social crisis. You know, we lead with mercy and that God loves you. And there is a time to address those issues that are critical issues. Don't get me wrong, like abortion or the whole gay rights issues and those things. But what Pope Francis is saying is that we need to lead with our best. And that's what attracts the hearts of people. And the Year of Mercy is an opportunity for us to, I think, readjust the way we lead in our witnessing, in our evangelization with others. And that's something that's challenged me.
Yeah, I think that we should all really take that time to examine our own relationship with others and with God throughout this year. I think that's what we're really being asked to. And one of the ways we can begin that is at either the cathedral or the basilica on December 13th, which is when both of them, the basilica being a co-cathedral, open the holy doors at their morning mass. So I think that is an opportunity for people to join together and really kick off the Year of Mercy together as a community.
Again?
December 13th. So the year itself opens on the 8th, which is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So hopefully people already will be at Mass and be able to enter into it that way. But the holy doors will open and marking the basilica and cathedral as places for pilgrimage and an opportunity to receive indulgences for this year on the 13th.
We're talking with Maria Wearing. She's the editor of The Catholic Spirit, the award-winning Catholic Spirit. And Maria, I want to make sure that all of our listeners can stay in touch with what you're doing at the Catholic Spirit, what are the various ways that people can get in touch with your work?
Well, we have a website, thecatholicspirit.com. We're on Twitter, at The Catholic Spirit. We're on Instagram and Periscope. We have a Facebook page that we're very active on. And, you know, if getting a subscription, reach out to us online or actually contact your parish. If you're a parishioner here in the Archdiocese, your parish very likely can hook you up with a complimentary subscription.
What? It's free?
It can be through your parish. So otherwise, there is a fee for but it's a small fee. It's not an expensive newspaper.
So the hub of everything that you're doing, would you consider to be your paper? Is that the hub, or do you have multiple hubs?
Well, it all kind of branches off from there. I think as people think of us as a newspaper, but really we are kind of a media outlet now, and we're growing our presence online and through social media.
Well, you do great work, and I would encourage all of our listeners, you know, to read the paper regularly. One of the responsibilities we have, my friend, is if we're going to be active in the Catholic Church in the Twin Cities, number one, this is an incredible archdiocese. I got to tell you, I travel, I hear about it all over the world. This is an incredible archdiocese. And we've got to acknowledge that. To stay in touch with what's happening here, this is the bishop's tool of communication. And there's a lot of outlets to get in touch with that. So it's Catholic Spirit. Go to it online, Instagram, Facebook, Periscope. If you don't know what Periscope is, look it up, because we're on it right now with Rediscover Faith. And they do a great job over at the Catholic Spirit. Maria, thank you so much. We want to have you back regularly. Let us know what's happening in the Archdiocese and what's happening in the Catholic Spirit.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me today.
It would be great. That's Maria Wearing. She's the editor of the Catholic Spirit. Get your copy today, especially as we begin the Year of Mercy. This will become your roadmap for this next year, as they not only tell you where we're going, but they'll let you know where we've been and what it meant. So that's good. Well, Paul, this is great. So much is happening in the Archdiocese, and we're going to talk about that when we come back in just a moment. We've got a lot of great things happening. We'll let you know. We'll be back. This is the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
National Catholic Schools Week is almost here. Good news for the nation. Catholic schools are thriving and frequently outperform schools in both the public and private sectors. While some schools are challenged with declining enrollments and closures, the good news is that there's a strong demand and enthusiasm for Catholic schools. According to the National Catholic Education Association, a school's success is dependent on a year-round marketing program that attracts new students, encourages a sense of pride among staff, attracts the best educators, and helps foster development efforts. For a limited number of schools, your school has a chance to be included in Relevant Radio's on-air promotions. Whether you're a school alumni, parent, or school administrator, with just a small investment, you can make this happen. Email your school's name and contact to advertising@relevantradio.com. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is the proud sponsor of Catholic Schools Week 2016.
It's a great archdiocese, St. Paul, Minneapolis, so much happening. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We want to let you know of some of those things that are happening coming up. And joining me is Paul Sadek here at Relevant Radio.
And I've got just a ton of things. A Spotlight Family Theater production brings A Christmas Carol to Holy Family Academy in St. Louis Park. The production is adapted from the classic story by Dickens. It'll be presented by the high school students of Holy Family Home Educators. All shows begin at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, December 11th, 12th, 18th, and 19th. Free will offering accepted. Seating is general admission. For more information, visit hftheater.wix.com/A Christmas Carol.
On Saturday, December 12th, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Dennis Gaetano will be speaking about Our Lady of Guadalupe, the true face of the Blessed Mother, and her role as leader of the new third evangelization. It will be held at Transfiguration Catholic Church following the 8 a.m. Mass. For more information, call the parish office at Transfiguration. That's 651 738 2646.
St. Jude of the Lake in Matamidi invites you to a Divine Mercy Retreat Friday, December 11th, 7 to 9 p.m., Saturday, December 12th, 9 a.m. to 3:15. With the Jubilee Year of Mercy on our doorstep, an extraordinary opportunity lies ahead. Come learn intriguing, little-known facts and history surrounding these revelations given to St. Faustina in Poland in the 1930s. The retreat will be led by Dave and Joan Moroni, founders and directors of Mother of Mercy Messengers. Find out more by calling the parish office, 651-426-3245.
An exciting vocation might be waiting around the corner for you. The Office of Vocations invites men between the ages of 18 and 50 to a discernment retreat December 18 through 20 at Christ the King Retreat Center with Retreat Master, none other than Bishop Andrew Cousins. Do you know someone discerning whether God may be calling them to the priesthood? Spread the word. Register with the Office of Vocations. Here's the number, 651-962-6890, or email them at stpaulpriest@1000vocations.org.
Do you know someone who was raised Catholic but now feels separated from the church and seldom goes to Mass? Help bring them back home to the Catholic Church, no matter how long they've been away, no matter the reason. Invite them to consider renewing their relationship with the Church. Invite them to join a six-week guided listening and basic catechesis session at St. Bartholomew in Wayzata. It starts on Tuesday, January 5th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. For more information, call Andrew Allen, 952-473-6601, extension 203.
The Church of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Maple Wood invites all men to Men's Night Out. Hey, when is it? It's tonight. It's Friday, December 4th. Come join us for an evening of fraternity, prayer, and growth in virtue. The evening begins with Mass at 5:30 p.m., followed by dinner and a presentation on the Catholic Watchman by me, Jeff Cavins, and an hour of adoration. Find out more information by calling 651-777-8116.
And what's up next week?
Coming up next week, Paul, tune in to the Rediscover Hours. We talk with Bishop Andrew Cousins and Father David Bloom, the Vocations Director for the Archdiocese. Bishop Cousins and Father Bloom will talk with us about the upcoming priesthood discernment retreat being held in December. We'll also hear from Catholic musician, singer, songwriter, and traveling catechist, Ali Elia. Ali will join us to talk about how the Lord is working through her music and YouTube ministry. So that's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. Have a wonderful week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.